1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was addressing this Corinthian church, which were really magnifying tongues, but misusing a lot of the other things, misusing tongues for that matter. And he says later, actually he says earlier on in this book that they were very carnal. They were a very carnal church. So we know that just being carnal doesn't stop you from operating the gifts. They still will operate. Of course, they'll operate better if we have some spirituality to us. Verse 7, let's start down there in verse 7, chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's what it's about. There's a profit in these gifts when they're manifest in our midst, praise God. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the Spirit, same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings. Notice both those words are plural, by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the self same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills.
Praise God. We started discussing these last week, and we did the first three. What were the first three called? Anybody remember? As a group. Oh, as a group. What are the first three called? Gifts of utterance. The utterance gifts. And they are? What's the three? Yell them out. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. And prophecy.
That's right.
Those are the three utterance gifts. So, okay. So next we are going to look at the revelation gifts, which you don't have in your notes. Aren't you glad I remember that? So we're going to go back and forth between these revelation gifts. Between Wayne and I, we have operated in all three of these. So I'm going to talk more about the ones I operate more in, and he'll do what he operates more in. So word of wisdom is the first one we're going to look at. And word of wisdom is simply, it's the revealing of a future event under the anointing of God. This is not a psychic thing. You know, if you look at, you know, psychics and, you know, various things in the world, you can see, you know, it's not that, you know, that a word of wisdom is counterfeit of psychics. God was here first. And so a word of wisdom was here first. The devil just took it and twisted it, and so we have psychics and, you know, talking to the dead and all this other stuff that's out there. But the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, these gifts came first. And so we have to be, you know, it's our responsibility to be open, to receive them, to have them operate in us, but knowing that it's under the anointing of God. It's not like, you know, it's one of the gifts I operate in, have operated in, is word of wisdom. But it's not like, okay, I decide, okay, I got it. Here's a blah, 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 blah. No, it's as the Spirit wills, as Scripture tells us, you know. So it's as the Spirit wills, but it is a word of wisdom between. Wayne will talk about word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is something to do with the present. Word of wisdom is talking about the future. And it's not all wisdom. It's not all knowledge, but a word. It's a bit concerning one event, one person. You know, it's just a piece. You know, it's not. God does not give us all the, you know, that we know everything. And I can't go through and rattle off, you know, everything in your life and everything and everything that's going to happen in your life. That's not what the word of wisdom is about or what it's like. In 2 Kings, I believe that's chapter 6, remember the story about Elisha informed the king of Israel where the king of Syria was going to set the ambush? Remember this, you know, the king of Syria, he said, you know, I don't understand. Is there somebody hiding in my bedchamber? Because they know everything we're going to do. How do they find this out? Well, it's a word of wisdom. Elisha was told ahead of time by God what was going to happen. And then in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in chapter 27, remember when Paul was on the ship and they were in the storm and the ship was going to sink, and Paul told them that. But he said, none of the lives, you know, nobody's life is going to be lost. You know, God showed him the future, what was going to happen. So that is a great, you know, a great gift that would really help us out, right? So it's one of those gifts that we want to tap into, be open to be used. It's up to God, you know, what gifts we're used in. But we should be open to it and you know, receive it if it's, you know, someone gives us a word of wisdom that we know is from God. Over the years, you know, in my life it's been manifested different ways. And just some biggies that I can remember, you know, times that this happened. I remember many years ago, I was up here teaching for offering, and in the middle of an offering teaching, there was a woman sitting in the back over on that side, and she got up to go out to the bathroom, and as I was teaching, God told me, spoke to me about her and said, she will be gone within a year. And within a year, she was gone. And it wasn't like I did anything to cause her to go. It just within a year, she decided to go. And then there was another incident that we had many years ago. You know, part of you remember Joe Eklund. And so when Joe Eklund died, I can remember I was in the middle, I was painting my kitchen ceiling. And I get this in me. I said, you know, that Joe, when, yeah, I think this was before he died, actually. And Joe's going to die, and Jean is going to leave the church, and she's going to go back to the Catholic Church, and there was a few other things, reasons why. And it wasn't, you know, so God told me this stuff ahead of time, and exactly what happened. You know, we continued to have a great relationship with Jean over the years, but God told me why she was going to go, and, you know, and it was okay. But it was her own things, and so she decided to go back to another church. Yeah. There's another word of wisdom that I had, and I carried it for many years. And it was a word that I did not want to believe. I did not think it was God. I would put it down. I would say, you know, come against it. And then several years later, probably I had this, you know, I carried this for years. It would come and it would go and it would come and it would go. And eventually it came to pass. And I was not happy about it. But looking at it now, after it happened, recognized that was God speaking to me, word of wisdom. Another thing for me is... I remember sharing this once before in people commenting, because there's different people in my life who have died, and God told me ahead of time they were going to die. And so, it's, you know, in one way, it's great comfort. You don't want to. I remember with my dad, when I knew he was going to go, and I, you know, it's like, I don't believe this, you know, coming against it. That's got to be Satan coming against it. And recognizing, you know, it was God. And so it was like, you know, it's kind of how it's worked with me over the years. Do you have anything to add for word of wisdom?
Yeah, I was thinking that, you remember Hezekiah in the Old Testament, the prophet came to him and said, get your stuff together, you're going to die. But he turned his face to the prophet left, turned his face to the wall and began to seek God. And the prophet was sent back and said, you got 15 more years. God never changed his mind there. God was saying to him the first time, under present circumstances, if there's no changes made, you're going to die. But he changes circumstances, he changes attitude, and by that he was able to change. That's for a while, that's usually the case. But it can come to the point where if you don't change circumstances, this is what's going to happen. So we need to change. All right, let's go on to the word of knowledge. Same spirit gives the word of knowledge. Where wisdom has to do with the future, word of knowledge has to do with past or present, something that's going on right now or something that happened. And it's not something that you can study out. You don't go to school and get a word of knowledge. Would have been nice, though. I passed more tests that way. You get a word of knowledge because God knows something, and he needs you to know that thing so that you can pass it on to somebody else. Most of the time it's for somebody else. Sometimes it's for you, too, which is good, to know something that you wouldn't know otherwise, and the Spirit of God is showing you. It's one of the reasons why we should stay in touch with God all the time and not just stop in and visit every once in a while, because he may want to tell you something that you need to know. And there are lots of illustrations in the Word of God when you think about it. I was thinking about the woman with the, excuse me, the woman at the well, with Jesus, and he said to her, you're not the guy that you're with right now, you're not married to, and you've had, I think he said, five other husbands along the way. And she said, wow, you must be a prophet. How'd you know that? And you say, well, that's Jesus, but Jesus was operating in the same spirit that we get to operate in too, and he knew that because he was in a situation where he could lead her in the right direction. Praise God for those opportunities. You know, when you have a word of knowledge around somebody who's not saved, and they see that you know something that you couldn't have known otherwise, you can get their attention. They go, oh, now you can talk to me. Especially when they know that you care. Another situation with Jesus was they came to Jesus and the disciples and said, your friend Lazarus is sick. And Jesus hung around for a while, which some people say, well, he wanted to let him die. I believe Jesus knew he was dead. If you start counting backwards in the days from there, same time. Hey, look at that. So you know, then they went from there, and the whole this interesting conversation where Jesus said, "We're going to go and we're going to wake Lazarus up. He's sleeping." And one of the disciples says, "Well, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. All right, he's dead. We're going to go raise him from the dead." And then one of the disciples said, "Well, let's go die with him." I'm sure Jesus is thinking, how did I get this bunch that can serve with me? And then there's a situation, you know, with Cornelius and Peter in Acts chapter 10. First of all, Cornelius gets the revelation that there's this guy named Peter, and he needs to come talk to him. And then...
Sorry.
Okay. And then Peter gets a revelation. There's some guys coming, and you're supposed to go with them. And, you know, they're not getting the full knowledge all at once, but they're getting a little bit at a time. And as they do, they begin to move towards each other, obviously. And then Peter goes over to Cornelius' house, shares the gospel with him, and the whole household gets saved, which is a good thing. And usually good things happen when you begin to get some knowledge from God and that you wouldn't have
had otherwise. Now, I think in a lot of things that, let me put it this way, a lot of times in life, the Lord would give us more instruction. I think a lot of times the, what we would call a hunch,
intuition,
whatever you want to give it, is probably God trying to help us with something, give us information that we need to learn to discern that and recognize when it was just too much pizza last night and when, you know, something, God is trying to show us something. My experience with this has been mostly in church services where, it's probably because I'm going to learn to yield more outside of church too and think about it. But I'll be going along in service and getting this sense, actually like I am right now, that the Lord wants to minister to some specific need. And it keeps coming back to me that there's someone here that needs some ministry in the area of their eyes, having especially a pain or symptoms in your eyes. And the Lord wants to minister to that right now. If you want, if you have me pray with you. I'm offering that now. Going once, going. Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Father.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to minister, opportunity to receive this word from you. That anointing is there, Father. Father God, we want to tap into that anointing right now. In the name of Jesus, healing, come. Praise you, Father. All right, let me.
Thank you. Enough is enough.
Let me get everybody in here. Praise you, Father.
Praise you, Jesus.
Father, you created these eyes to start with.
Yes.
You know how they work and how they're supposed to work.
Yes.
And we just come into agreement together. You said, if any two agree, it's touching anything on earth, it's done for them by our Father, which is in heaven.
Thank you.
So we thank you, Lord, right now that you're making it right. It's already done.
Amen.
It's already done in Jesus.
Amen.
And we're receiving it, taking it in our hand. Taking it in our bodies right now, and it's ours in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Praise
you, Jesus. Wayne has used more in this gift than I have been over the years, but I remember the first time I was used in this gift was I was 15 or 16, and I can remember going to bed at night, and my uncle, I've shared this before, my uncle Ralph had a brain tumor. And back then there was no treatment, so you know we knew he was not getting better, but I just knew inside me that something was wrong. But at 15 years of age, I wasn't sure what to do with it. I didn't know. So I prayed as I knew how. But you know, the next day we found out that he had died that night. So it's once again, it's not, you don't have to be a certain age before the gifts of the Spirit are operating. You just need to be born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and willing. You know, I read, shared last week, just read recently a story about how this one minister, there, he started as a child. I think he was like 6 years old when he first started being used in the gifts of the Spirit. So we need to open ourselves up. God wants to do amazing, phenomenal things. And it's the time for that to begin in operation again. And so we need to be open to, you know, as we said, to these various gifts happening. And like Wayne said, it's not just in the church. You know, we need to be open. As you're a child of God, that's one of the reasons for spending time praying in tongues. It connects you. You know, it's easier to connect to the voice of the Spirit when one of the ways of doing that is praying in tongues.
I think sometimes it's just about the Lord needing somebody to pray. And you don't get always a lot of information, but just like I've shared different times with my dad, just pray for your dad. And later on found out he was in an accident and so on. So it behooves to be paying attention, take whatever information we have and act upon that.
Right, because that's one of the ways that God will use it is sharing you, telling you something so that you can pray for the situation.
Yep.
There's various ways that these word of wisdom and word of knowledge can come through. You know, when should you sharing the one about vision with Peter on the rooftop. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament, he had dreams and he saw these things in dreams. And then they can come through the utterance gifts. Agabus was one who gave a word of wisdom when he prophesied, gave a prophecy to Paul. And then also, you know, for me, it was inward witness or inward voice. It was just a knowing on the inside or you know, sensing or feeling or, you know, some people actually hear the Holy Spirit speak to them that way. So there's various ways, and there may be other ways that we don't even have on the list. But it's not just like this one way that these gifts operate. There's various ways. God works with us in various ways. And we were talking on the way this morning, and just to something we didn't comment on last week, is one of the things with the utterance gifts especially, is the interpretation and prophecy, they will come forth, and you know how you hear some people give negative words, and you know I used to give a lot of negative words or positive words. Part of that is you will give because it's an interpretation, because it's a part of you. As you're giving out whatever it is, your view of God will come out in your interpretation and prophecy. So if you view God as being judgmental and, you know, people are, you know, he's going to get you kind of thing, it will come out anytime you operating in the gifts. If you see God as a God of love and mercy and compassion, it will come out in your word. So just that's another just side thing that we thought about this morning. So yeah. Let's figure it out.
Can I say, too, when I was, for example, when I was at Rhema, they had us, they had some extra time, and there was no teacher for the class, so they said, just, you know, move in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. So then whoever was leading the class said, well, let's pair up and see if the Lord wants to speak anything person to person. So we were praying in the Spirit, and a nice lady next to me reaches over, and she said, the Lord's telling me that you're going to have a real bad accident, but you're going to live. Thank you. So I didn't do this in her face, but I to myself I said, "Oh no, I come against that in the name of Jesus." And what I'm saying is, people will come along and they're doing their best to move in the Spirit. Doesn't mean that they're always right. I haven't always been right. Just we need to know. There needs to be a knowing on the inside. It needs to be a confirmation. Is that the word I'm looking for? On the inside of you that this is God speaking to you.
Yes. Which brings us to the next one, discerning of spirits.
Yes.
And discerning of spirits is, it's distinguishing, it's judging in a positive way. And it comes not through natural senses. You know, it's not your natural senses. If you think you have the gift of discerning of spirits, it's not, well, you see someone, you see how they're acting, so you decide that this is why they're doing what they're doing, this is how they're doing, you know, that kind of thing. It does not come through the natural senses. Sometimes, you know, in my experience, what I have gotten is totally contrary to what other people see, and it's very hard, and I am still learning to operate in these gifts just like you are. I have not arrived. I don't always get it right. I don't always discern correctly, even without the gift, outside of this gift. So it is a learning process, but as I said, it's seeing by the Spirit, and not necessarily, well, let me go back to my notes here. When we're looking at discerning of spirits, we're talking demons, Satan, angels, God, Jesus, or human spirits. Different ministers give different definitions for this gift more than any other ones.
Yeah.
For the most part, ministers agree, full gospel ministers agree on their definition, but discerning of spirits, it depends on who you read, what they're going to see, what they're going to say. Brother Hagin always taught it that you were actually seeing into the spirit realm, you were seeing demons or angels in the spirit realm. So for many years, I did not believe I had this gift because I did not see into the spirit realm. But then reading other ministers, one of the ones that I just read this time, I read it from two different ministers, one of the ways they said that this gift operates is, as far as people, when someone's lying. It's a manifestation of the gift. And you say, well, I know when so-and-so is lying. That's not necessarily the gift of discerning of spirits. It's different, and when you operate in the gift, there is a difference. There's a difference inside of knowing something than just, looking at their body language or that kind of thing. But that's one of the ways that this gift manifests. Another one is, there's one definition that I read was, it was kind of totally about human spirits. Knowing is being able to, I think one definition was being able to see inside of people, see what's going on inside of people, see their motivation, see what's going on. And so that's, that has, for me over the years, that has happened a lot with me. As I said, I've never seen actually into the spirit realm, but I have had several experiences here in the auditorium that during services, during prayer times, I've seen shadows. And, checking with, the spirit, the shadows, I know sometimes there's angels, there's times Jesus is walking through, through the room, but that's one of the ways it has manifested with me, is seeing shadows. Another way for me is knowing the flow of the spirit in a service, knowing, with Wayne and I, we will talk about services, and a lot of times I will have something totally different that what he had in a service and what I had in a service was totally different. And it's one of the things is because of my function as prophet, learning and understanding that especially these three revelation gifts, they operate. It's not that fivefold ministries are superior to people that are not in fivefold, but God has functions. We have different roles, and so there's different levels of all of these gifts, and there's a bigger depth to the level. There's I don't know how the term on what I'm looking for, then, if just somebody in the congregation operates in a gift, a fivefold minister operates in a gift, especially a prophet, they're likely to have more depth, they're likely to have it operating more and oftener and that kind of thing. I think you understand what I'm saying. Let's see. Knowing something wrong in a person, I've had that happen a few times. It was years ago, before I understood a lot. That there was a person in the congregation, and Wayne and I used to have arguments more than once over this person because on the surface he looked great, and Wayne really liked this guy, and he thought everything was wonderful, and I knew something was wrong, and in the end, I was right. There was something wrong. And so we found out the hard way because it happened, things happened, and then we got to deal with cleaning up the mess rather than, dealing with it beforehand.
I've been right a few times along.
Yeah, yeah, yes he has, yes. Yes, there's times that he picks up things and I don't. So also picking up demonic activity, and that has happened a few times. And as I said before, it's probably been the toughest with me is because there's been a few times that I knew something was demonic operating in a person, and the person looked fine. Everybody thought that the person was fine. There was no problems whatsoever, and yet I knew that I knew. It was a couple of those times is, there's a lot of times that I can say, I am not 100% sure this is God. I'm doing what I know to do, but I could be wrong. But there was a couple times with people, and I knew 100%. I knew that I knew that it was God. But to try to explain it to someone, I couldn't. So for me, these are various ways that this gift has manifested in my life. Okay?
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on. Those three are the power gifts.
No, what? They're the revelation gifts.
They're revelation gifts.
See, you should have wrote it in your notes.
It's been revealed to me that they're the revelation. What is the difference now between word of knowledge and word of wisdom? Okay, that's important to remember. All right, now we're going to go to the power gifts. I'm going to talk about the gift of faith. This is you need to think of this as special faith. Amplified says wonder-working faith. Weymouth's translation says special faith. And it's the Holy Spirit, power of God, enabling us to believe beyond, if I can put it this way, the measure of our everyday faith. We all have faith, and we should be operating in that all the time. But when this gift of faith comes into operation, it goes beyond, we can go beyond what we could normally believe for. And, you know, whatever we can believe for, it's ours. It's already been done for us. But as this gift comes into operation, it goes beyond that. I think it was Kenneth Copeland said, when the gift of faith comes into operation, it's like the Lord pulled the plug on the back of your head and all the doubt drained out. Put the plug back in and pull the cork on top and fill this with faith. And it's almost like you can't not trust. It's just, I'm going to trust. Diane and I had this experience a couple of times going to Rhema, for one thing, because we just jumped in the car and went. We just didn't have any money. Didn't know where we were going to live when we got there. Didn't know how I was going to pay for the school or where I was going to work. And we just went. It wasn't like, wow, what are we going to do? We were, all right, going down the road, having a good time, you know. Kids facing each other and back, the car full of stuff. A guinea pig crawling around in the stuff in the car. The engine went on the way out, and we weren't worried about anything, man. We were just trusting God. And then we came up here to start the church, and the same gift came into operation. We didn't have a place to live. But we didn't have any money to pay for a place to live. I didn't have a job. And in the midst of all that, we just, we'll have a place, no problem. Just trust in God. You ever look back on something and say, how in the world did I get through that? Could have been that the gift of faith jumped into operation.
Amen. Which, you know, meditating on this and remembering back to then, and it's like we were in and out of the gift of faith for like the first 2 years, the year we were at Rhema and the first year that we were here. Yeah. And then, you know, because remembering, you know, when we, like Wayne said, going to Rhema, it was just, you know, this is what God said, and we never really heard the voice of God before, and so God said this, and we were going to do it, and so whatever. And we were out there, and, you know, we didn't have anything. You know, we were given, there was a couple in the church that bought Wayne and I a bed. The kids slept on the floor the whole year we were out there. You know, they found us an apartment. They paid the security. Towards the end of the year, you know, we didn't have any money, so we owed, I don't know, several hundred dollars. But before we left that place, you know, church received an offering for us. We never told anybody anything. Church received an offering for us. People gave us money. We were totally debt-free when we came back. We came back, and it was miraculous in the car. You know, we're driving a car that, pulling a U-Haul trailer, a Datsun. I don't even know what size the engine was. But, you know, I mean, it was looking back on it, you know, it was totally God. And the first year here, like Wayne said, no job, you know, no place to live. We just started. The church grew. Every week there was more people. You know, he bought. I was down to my mom's with the kids, and our car died, and he bought a brand new car. I mean, he didn't have a job per se at that point, you know, and bought a brand new car. And then, you know, within a year, we bought a house. We didn't even imagine buying a house, but we bought a house. It just was. And looking back, like Wayne said, how did that happen? But recognizing, you know, And we know what happened, and we got out of it too with people. We started listening to people, and that's what got us out of living like that. But recognizing, you know, it's the time, that's how we're supposed to live. It's supposed to be that way. That's what normal life is supposed to be. And so we're doing everything we know to do to that. That's how we're going to live again. You know, it's not you know, waiting, you know, praying for this and believing for that, you know, and it's, you know, that the I'm learning this as far as the church and the church finances, you know, it's over the years, you know, we have had debt issues for several years. And, you know, I just reached a point, I don't know when, and it's just, God, it's got to be you. I can't do anything about this. It's got to be you. And you know, you've seen what attendance has been like this summer, and we're low in attendance. Do you know that we're having the best income? June was horrible, but July is the best income that we have had, and August is beginning. You know, I mean, we're not even in August, and there's already an offering to put in August that's going to be better than normal offerings. So it's God, 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 God. But part of this is tapping into the gifts of the Spirit. If you reach your point and I need to go farther, I need more, well, tap into the gifts of the Spirit. God, we're supposed to live in the gifts of the Spirit. Not, you know, life is not supposed to be that hard. Because we're who we are in Christ. Okay, I'm getting off track here. Praise God.
Well, you can go the other way, too. It's the attitude of your heart. You think, what? Because there are challenges, like I was saying, for offering it. But if you get wallowing around in that, then you'll stay there. You think, no, I've got this far. There were things in the past I didn't think I'd survive at the time. And yet we made it. Here we are. And it's not about surviving.
Amen.
It's about enjoying life, praise God, being victorious in all
life,
things.
So. Yes. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what we're supposed to be living in.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, next one is working of miracles. And working of miracles, I just noticed when Wayne was reading the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, this is working of miracles. That's plural. So it's not like this gift is, okay, you do one miracle and that's it for your life. No, apparently it's a continuation. And this is one gift between Wayne and I. If we operated in it, we're not really aware of it. So this is one, but it's very interesting to me as I'm thinking about this, is that it's been years now. I've had probably more words spoken to me about miracles than anything else. And when I get stirred up, it's just, and it's not a head thing. I don't think about performing miracles in my daily life. But when the Spirit stirs me up, that's all I see is signs, wonders, and miracles. So if it's not me that's going to have this gift, then it's at least one of you in here. Because I believe that all nine gifts of the Spirit are supposed to operate within this congregation. And you guys have been here the longest, so I believe God's going to start with you. I don't believe he's going to bring in a bunch of people from the outside. But if you refuse, then he will bring people from the outside. But if this is where your heart is, stir yourself up. The word says stir the gift up that's in you. You have at least one gift.
Yep.
Stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. Okay. So working of miracles, it's a definition. It says it works through a human instrument, in other words, a person. A person doing a supernatural act by the divine energy of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've heard one minister say that, you know, there really isn't anything supernatural. We see it as supernatural, but to God it's natural. But as far as our, you know, having things happen, we see it as a supernatural. So for us, it would be performing a supernatural act of something. Let's see here. As far as in the Bible, good Lord, we have miracle after miracle after miracle. You look at the life of Jesus, and it's miracle after miracle after miracle. You know, feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, you know, raising the dead. Some of the sick that he healed, that was miracles. It wasn't just healing, it was miracles. If you're missing an arm or you're missing pieces of your body and they're restored, that's a miracle. If it's just you're sick and you get better, that can be gifts of healing. But miracle is, you know, something totally different. You look in the Old Testament, you know, the Red Sea, Daniel in the lion's den. There's just, you know, miracle after miracle after miracle. If the Bible is so full of miracles, then we are supposed to be operating in miracles.
Amen.
That's who we are.
Amen.
So we need to start expecting, you know, like what you're talking about, our heart. We need to start expecting when you're meditating, expecting, you know, see something, see a miracle, whether you're performing it or not. That would be the best thing. Imagine yourself performing a miracle. But expecting miracles, seeing miracles, speaking miracles, because that's what God has for us. I'm 100% convinced that's what God has for us.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Faith receives miracles.
Right.
working in miracles works or energizes or what's the power words that you were talking about?
Yeah, I couldn't find it. I don't remember where I read it. But just recently I read, and there was a definition of working in miracles, and it's the two, I think it's energius, something along that, and dunamis is what this gift, that's the words that are involved in this. So it's the energy and the power of God in operation. I mean, to just, think nuclear bomb. I mean, that kind of energy and power. You realize nuclear bomb is just from this little itty-bitty atom kind of thing? And yet God, how many atoms there are? So if God can do that, there's that much power in just that, how much power is in us? Because God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in us. Oh, hallelujah. Change what you're thinking about. Focus on what you're supposed to be focusing on.
We have an atom right here, too. Praise God. Oh, that's that. Okay. years ago, we were having a healing service, and a family came down all the way from Glens Falls. And I prayed for grandfather, mother, daughter, I think, each one that had something going on. But the daughter had curvature of the spine. But I just prayed, and one of the things that you need to learn is that sometimes you really get a feeling when you're praying for somebody and something's really happening. And sometimes you just, as far as you know, ain't nothing happening. Well, I didn't see him again for a year or more. I happened to be in Glens Falls holding a service, and they came to the service. And they came up afterwards because they wanted to meet with me and said, "Do you know what happened?" They went back and had her tested and had an x-ray, and the spine straightened out. I don't know. I think that's miraculous. I don't think that's supposed to happen on its own. So like Diane said, when it goes beyond just healing and getting better, the miracles begin to happen. Miracles, that's what miracles are. Now, gifts of healings. Let's talk about that. As I said before, excuse me. I have another cough drop. This is plural, gifts of healings. And we'll talk about why that is, but this is also a supernatural act. I believe in using medical science. I don't think there's anything wrong with using medicine and those kind of things, unless the Lord says don't take this. Usually when he does that, it's because it's got all the side effects. Have you seen the commercial where they sing the side effects now on TV? Sometimes you wonder why you would even want to bother with anything like that. But sometimes this is what you need, especially when you're dealing with pain. But it's God manifesting what's already been done for us, really, when it comes down to it, in Jesus and 2,000 years ago. And we're taking hold of that, and when we're ministering in the gifts of healing, we're helping somebody else usually take hold of that. It's more than just having a prayer line, It can happen out in the road and meeting somebody at a gas station. It can be happening in your house to manifest these gifts. Of course, again, there's lots of illustrations in the Bible of ministering of the gifts of healings. Starting in the book of Acts early with John, was it Peter and John, I believe, at the gate beautiful with the beggar. The thing that makes, as far as my understanding is concerned, that makes the gifts of healings operate is that the person usually doesn't have much or any faith at all that's receiving, so they need your faith. And so in that case, the gate beautiful, that guy was just looking for money. But they ministered healing to him, and he was raised up. So praise God for those opportunities. And whenever we're in need, we need to release our faith as much as possible. But there's also God meeting us where we are and taking us beyond where our faith is at the time.
One of the things with gifts of healing is that, you hear about people, they got healed at a big meeting or something, and then they lost their healing. This is one of the reasons why. Mm-hmm. Is because gifts of healings does not necessarily involve much of your faith. But for you to keep it, whatever caused it to be there in the first place, if that's not dealt with and taken care of, then, that's a lot of times why disease or sickness, whatever, will come back again.
Yeah. And when it says gifts of healings, this has to do with, I think, is what I've been taught, it makes sense to me,
is that God has like specialists. You know, you go to a podiatrist for your feet and you know all the different doctors. There are specific ministers who minister in a specific area where they've had, there was a lady that came through here years ago and she had a lot of success praying for hearing loss and so on. Brother Hagin had a lot of success in the area of cancer. Different ones had a specific area. I don't know that I have a specific area, but I've been using it in this gift. But when they have that specific area, and you're dealing with that area, that would be a good one to reach out to. Amen? And then there's also different ways of ministering. In the Bible, Jesus spit, made clay, and put it on the guy's eye. Well, that's not always the way to do it. There are different ways to do it. And today, there are different situations where, I think it was Danny Griffin was saying, he was somewhere and had people, he walked, they had the guys with problems with their back lay on the floor, and he walked across them. Well, you better know that's God before you do something like that. You know, kick somebody in the rear end because they have a sore rear end. It's not, better hear from God to know that that's the way you're supposed to minister it.
Smith Wigglesworth hit people.
You gotta know that you're hearing from God in the midst of all that. You know, I was thinking too that obviously, you know, if somebody's raised from the dead, which certainly we're able to do as the Lord leads, but that's going to take the operation of more than one of these gifts. I think. First of all, that would take the gift of faith. For me, anyway, I don't know. Maybe not for you. For it to be an operation to know that you're supposed to do that, and do it. Although, like Diane said, we ought to come to the place where, hey, first question we ask: should I pray? Should I go after it and try to raise him from the dead? And then it's going to take the gift of healing because they got to
working in miracles first to bring him back.
Working miracles to get him up back again, and. It gives a feeling because once they come back to life, you want them to stay alive. You know, I'm sneaking back on you again. So praise God for these opportunities to minister by the Spirit of God. And it's not just for some well-known minister that's on TV somewhere. It's for all of us. And the idea is, you know, seek the best gift. I think the best gift is the one that's needed at the time. Somebody said the best gift is word of wisdom. Well, if that's not what you need at the time, then it really wouldn't be the best gift, would it? Over in chapter 12, verse 31, it says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." And the idea is this. It needs to be motivated in love. It's worked. The gifts have worked when there wasn't love, but they work a lot better when there is love. And as far as we're concerned, if we're motivated by love, we're going to be more likely to be yielding ourselves to the gifts. Amen?
One of the things that with the gifts is you grow in development. You know, it's I don't know if I said this last week or not, but it's like with tongues. You know, you may give very short tongues and the interpretation may be long, or you may give a long tongue, the interpretation may be short, you know, because we grow in development. The more we use, and it's the same thing with the ones we're talking about today. It's you grow in development, and so as we grow in development, if it's you can operate and you don't have to be motivated by love, but it's how long it's going to keep operating is kind of iffy. There's no rules, nothing that I can give you a scripture that says it's going to stop or it's going to keep going. But the other part of it is as your relationship with God develops, then there's going to be more, lack of a better word, more purity to the gifts. There's going to be more, you're going to be right more than you're wrong and that kind of thing. So don't say I can't start because there's this going on in my life, or I'm not reading my Bible like I should, so I can't. You know, be a candidate. Be open for God to use you, but look at it. You know, is that I am going to like Wayne's talking about. I'm going to develop my love life, because the whole reason for helping people is love. And so it's, you know, the gifts are not from to look at me and look what I can do. It's all about helping people. It's all about operating in the love of God. That's why God gave them to us. That's what they're about. That's why we're using them.